again bid you welcome, express appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. So I appreciate your attendance very, very much. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning if you'd like to follow along. It has the, by the way, Jim, it has the correct scripture reading, but Jim put the Gospel of Luke in the bulletin. But that was a good one, and we had that verse in last Sunday morning's Bible class lesson on the questions that were asked of Jesus, testing him or trying him or putting him to the test. But today's lesson, we're going to look at two illustrations that occurred in the life of Jesus concerning doubt. We titled the lesson, Don't Doubt, but Have Faith or Have Trust and Obey. So that's the lesson. By the word doubt, you can follow along in the outline, but we mean, I doubt that, sometimes say. Or in opinion or belief. I don't know, and you know what I hear you saying, I doubt. Yeah. Means I'm going to hesitate, question it a little bit, doubt that. I'm skeptical, suspicious, unsettled on a point or a matter, a little apprehensive, I doubt that, unsure, just our doubts. A strong uncertainty as to a probability, oh, that can't be. We just doubt things. Some of you are doubting that I can get through this sermon in the allotted time. I don't think he can do it. I'm filled with people who've doubted, and you know, centuries ago, some people thought the earth was flat. They doubted that Columbus could sail out beyond the visible edge of the sea. You know, he'd probably fall off, and I think there's still even a flat earth society in our generation. I don't know what they're thinking. Maybe they think the earth is in a bowl, and still, if you fall off, where do you go? You know, how far down is it going to fall? Some doubted that Bill Wright could build a plane that would fly. They said, you know, fly, he would have given him wings. Now they doubt that. Of course, now we have an airship, the Lockheed C-5 Galaxy, with a cargo compartment that is longer than the Wright brothers' maiden voyage. Some people doubted we could put a man on the moon. I thought, oh, that's television trickery. Others said, oh, a man can't run the 4-minute mile. Roger Bannister. Now we have people doing it rather often. Chuck Yeager. There's an example of an honest doubt. You know, when I was teaching school, especially if I was in a general ed classroom, sometimes substituting out elementary kids, 8 or 9 years old, I'd tell them, I can take my finger off. No, you can't do that. Mr. Bryan, you can't do that. I'd say, sure, let me show you. So I'd do a little magic trick like that, and I'd say, now watch that finger right there, and I would take it off. You doubt that? And then the little kids, they say, no, Mr. Brown, you're going to take your finger off. That's your thumb, and I can see your finger here. Yeah, that's an honest doubt. You know, so when you have an honest doubt, it means you're going to probe, you're going to search, you're going to try to find the meaning. Say, oh, I kind of doubt that, but I'm going to look into it. An honest doubt, that's what our lesson is today. It means you're going to test something enough to prove it. Well, let me see. And those kids, when I did my finger, they'd all get closer and they'd get down like this and look under. They'd want to search out and find. How do you do that? It means to examine carefully if you have an honest doubt. Mean, sir. You think, baptism doesn't wash away sins. Or baptism washes away sins. Oh, I doubt that. And you go your merry way. I don't know. And honest doubt says, let me find out. And we open the Bible and look. We search. That's an honest doubt. And then we have concern for the truth. It's an honest doubt. You know, the challenge before us is because some people accept doctrines that are unexamined. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, prove all things. Then hold fast to that which is true or is good. But in honest doubt, said, let me find out. Let me search. Let me investigate. You might hear something I say and go, I doubt that. And then just go your merry way. Well, wait a minute. How do you know that what I said is to be doubted? Remember the story. Two men were sitting on an airplane together, side by side. One of them was a man of faith, and he was reading his Bible. And the part that he was reading was the story of Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt and the Red Sea. And he came to that part where God parted the Red Sea and Israel crosses on dry land, and he just let out a shame man. Well, the guy sitting beside him was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. So he kind of looks over and says, What's so exciting? What happened? He says, oh, I was reading this Bible story, Moses leading Israel across the Red Sea, and God parted the sea. And he says, No. That part of the Red Sea has only three inches of water. He didn't part the Red Sea. And the man, Bible reader, says, oh, well, okay. He starts reading some more. And as he continues reading the story, he shouts out again, hallelujah, amen. The man says, what happened? He says, God just drowned Pharaoh and his army in 3 inches of water. You know, so don't doubt. You know. Give you two stories in the Bible of an honest doubt. Number one is John the Baptist, 11. Beginning at verse 1. It says, it came to pass, Jesus made an end of commanding his 12 disciples. He departed from there to teach and preach in the cities. Now when John had heard, and John is, he says, in the prison, John's in prison this time. John had heard in the prison the works of Christ. He sent two of his disciples, and they said to Jesus, so John said, you disciples, you go find Jesus, and you ask him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Oh, John. But he wants the proof, and he's in prison, and now he has doubts, John. So we kind of look at that, and you think to ourselves, no matter how strong someone is in faith, nor how many years we've been living the Christian life, we may go through a struggle like John the Baptist is here. He's in prison. We may have that moment, of doubt or question. That's what's happening to John. Now remember, John the Baptist is a chosen vessel of God. John the Baptist was called upon to perform a very important, significant, huge task. In Matthew 3, before John is in prison, verse 1, it says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. John's a preacher. And he's just saying, and his message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he, and he points even to Jesus. This is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. John says, I'm that voice. In Matthew 3, verse 13, as the story continues, then comes Jesus of Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. So John prepares the way for Jesus, has baptized Jesus. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, John is preaching, and it says the next day John sees Jesus coming toward him. And he points his disciples, and takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, John the Baptist. This is the one that I talked about. And it says, after me comes a man who is preferred before me. And he was before me. John, who are you? Oh, I'm a voice of one to prepare the way for Jesus. I baptized Jesus. I put disciples to Jesus. And now I'm in prison and I have a moment of doubt. So John carries his doubt to the right place, to Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 11, verse 4, here's the answer of the disciples that John sent to Jesus to ask him, "Are you really the Messiah?" Jesus answered and said to them, to these two disciples John sent, John, what you saw the first time, we're going to tell you about it. "You go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The deaf hear. Go preach to them. Whosoever shall not be offended in me." Ooh. So John, that's right. You go and examine the evidence to eliminate the doubt. That's what you and I need to do. Don't just, you hear something, "Oh, I doubt that." No, let's have an honest doubt and examine the evidence. John goes to the right source. And now when the evidence is submitted by Jesus, it was sufficient to eliminate the doubt. Ah, there's a lesson for you and me. There's a lesson from John the Baptist. An honest doubt. Go and tell John again. John, you already know. Let's hear it again. Over, when we sing that song, "Tell me the old story." And tell it, in the last stanzas, tell it to those who love it the best. You've already heard the story. Let's hear it again. Examine the evidence and re-examine. The second illustration is in John 20, verse 24. Story of one of Jesus' apostles, Thomas. It's his name. Thomas, one of the 12. Didymus just means he's a twin. Didymus does not mean doubting, just because it starts with the letter D. But we usually refer to doubting Thomas because of the storyline. So Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. All right, there's the setting. Thomas was not with Jesus, with the 12, when Jesus came. He's over there somewhere. So following Jesus' resurrection, Jesus met with the disciples. And Jesus presented them evidence that he was the resurrected Christ. In verse 20, during this meeting with the disciples, verse 20 of John chapter 20 says, "He showed them his hands, his side." And then it says, "And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." The evidence is presented. The Lord. So after the meeting, the disciples leave and they meet Thomas. And good news in verse 25. "Thomas, we've seen the Lord." Now, I want to say, stop here and say, now good for you, Thomas. Because Thomas now has an honest doubt. And he doesn't take their word as truth. Okay. Disciples were there. Jesus said, "See my hands, my side." They leave. Thomas, good news. Thomas says, You see, Thomas had been warned by Jesus in Matthew 24, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ, and shall deceive many." Maybe Thomas remembered those words of Jesus. Has an honest doubt. You've seen the Lord. In Matthew 7, verse 15, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, inwardly they're ravening wolves." Oh, I remember Jesus said, don't believe everything you hear. And so now Thomas is going to answer correctly in verse 25. He said to them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Ooh, the evidence. So now they have another meeting. Now, not only is Jesus with those original disciples, but now he's with Thomas, is there with them. It's in verse 26. And then in verse 27, then Jesus said to Thomas, "Reach here your finger. Behold my hands. Reach here your hand, thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And then Thomas answered correctly again. Verse 28, my Lord and my God. You see, Thomas answered correctly the first time. You have evidence that I don't have, that you saw the Christ. And I remember he said, don't believe everything you hear. So then they have another meeting, and Jesus presents the evidence to Thomas. Oh, now, my Lord and my God. You and I need to follow the example of Thomas. You can have an honest doubt. However, when presented with the evidence, we need to have faith and blessed assurance. So within this story, Jesus gives the lesson for us. In verse 29, Jesus said, Thomas, because you've seen me, you believe. That's right. I've seen the evidence. I believe. Then he said, blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. Remember that song we sang right before the communion? I don't know if we saw thee not. So hear this for us today. We saw thee not when thou didst come to this poor world of sin and death. But we believe thy footsteps trod its streets and plains, thou Son of God. We believe thy footsteps trod its streets and plains, thou Son of God. Second stanza. We saw thee not when lifted high amid that wild and savage crew. Nor heard we that imploring cry, forgive, they know not what they do. It was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. We believe the deed was done that shook the earth and veiled the sun. Third one. We gaze not in the open tomb where once thy mangled body left room, nor met thee on the open way. But we believe that angels said with the dead. We believe that angels said, why seek the living with the dead? We gaze not with the chosen few who saw thee from the earth ascend. And their wondering view, then low to earth all prostrate bend. But we believe that human eyes beheld that journey to the skies. We believe. We believe that human eyes beheld that journey to the skies. So here's the conclusion. Both John the Baptist and Thomas won the battle over doubt by believing the evidence that was presented. About Christ and Christianity, you have to go to the Word of God. That's where the evidence is. Remember verse 29, where Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, because you've seen me, you believed. Those who have not seen and yet believe. And then the verses 30 and 31 of that same chapter, John chapter 20, says, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing you might have life through his name. Romans 10 verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing the word of God. You need to examine the evidence. Go to the word of God. Say, Brian, I don't believe what you're saying right now. Go to the word of God. Examine the evidence. Have an honest doubt with what's being presented. Prove all things. Prove it. In Acts 17, verse 11, the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to see if the things, now put the apostle's name in, see if the things that the apostle Paul were saying was so. Now, that's the apostle Paul. But here these brethren were saying, wait a minute, Paul, let me check the scriptures out to make sure that what you're saying is true. An honest doubt. 2 verse 15, study to show a workman So we have to put some effort in it. So just the lesson this morning is, have faith. But have the faith when you've examined the evidence, the testimony, the Word of God, and that eliminates the doubt. So sometimes people say, well, Brian, why do you mention baptism at every invitation at the close of a lesson? It's in the Bible. It's in the book. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, good news, people, to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Okay? So don't just believe what I say. Open the book. Why do you preach? It's in the Bible. Revelation 2, verse 10, be thou faithful till you die. You get the crown of life. It's in the book. So that's the lesson this morning. Examine the evidence and believe. Hopefully we can have the same result that John had. Began the things that you've seen and heard. Thomas, the evidence, oh my Lord and my God. That's right. Don't be doubting. Be faithful. Be believing. Let's stand together. We'll sing the song of encouragement, song of invitation.